Yes, this is my promise to each and every one of you. No matter how high I get, I will never, ever change. I'm going to always be the down-to-earth, common guy, you know, as Lonzo. I'm going to stay Mr. Humble, and that's my promise. What you say about the Baconator? Oh. Yeah, that is pretty thick. Now they got like a pretzel Baconator. I bet that's, I've never had that. Or the big boom.
All right, you can go ahead with your order.
Hi, this is the Unknown Preacher LA. I have the fastest growing podcast in the country. Do y'all do discount for celebrities?
No.
All right. Well, then let me get the Junior hamburger.
All right, what else for you?
Y'all got like shot glasses or shot cup sizes of Coke?
We do not.
Okay. Let me get a cup of water.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
It's us. It is us. Welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your host, the Unknown Preacher, aka LA, aka Lonzo. In other words, I'm just a nobody. And I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen, amen, amen. And joining me today, beautiful people, guess who? It's our girl, Jackie J. Jackie, what's happening?
Good morning, doggone. I didn't think that intro was never going to end. I was like, oh, and Jackie.
You're just anticipating to get on here and spit your knowledge. That's all that's about, man.
Yeah, you're right.
No, man, that is a long intro. We'll slice it up here and there, man. Thank you for telling me that, because that's the environment we create here where everyone has a voice.
You do what you do.
Don't do that. Don't placate me, man.
I'm not going to dim your light.
Yeah, man. Hey, so how you're doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. This week was definitely, I don't know. I'm trying to get ready to graduate. So I graduate next Thursday. Don't worry, you'll get an invitation.
Please, man, that is, man, major kudos. Major
thank
kudos
you,
to that. We are so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm not too old to not be able to get graduation money still, right?
No, man, that's a huge accomplishment. Yeah. Matter of fact, it's even twice as sweet, you know, doing it as an adult, I think, you know.
Did you say twice as sweet, like times two on your end?
No. I mean, on your end, that's a huge accomplishment. Wow. But I'll do a collection, man. We'll do a what they call it, an online collection plate for you for your graduation.
We'll do that virtually, but I need it physically. How was your week?
It was I'll be honest with you, it was a little hard for me. But you still stand, you know. I will say this, God's love is so humbling. And so I had a few setbacks this week and I got caught up. And, you know, so Jackie, you know this, but our listeners don't. You know, I'm into everything. I have so many projects I'm working on. And when you spread yourself thin, it's really hard to give the best version of yourself, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So when things didn't go my way or I didn't do what I would believe to be the closest thing to perfect, I tend to beat myself up. So in other words, I get caught up. And this is something my wife does, and I give her credit for it. She is quick to say, you know, get over yourself. And so I think that's a good way to bounce me back to reality and get me laser focused. But so one, the next morning after a rough day, I woke up around 4 or 5 a.m. I'm on IG. That's when I usually do the morning messages or post about our podcast. And anyway, that's when I saw this message from Erica Campbell. And I was like, man, this is meant for me. And, you know, she talked about keeping the focus on Jesus. And she said the reasons we don't keep that focus or we redirect our attention to ourselves is because of pride or, you know, low self-esteem. And
indeed.
Yeah. So we have to remember that it's not all about us. And I know that I can be prideful. And that's not necessarily a good thing. And I believe some of it is cultural. You know, like I talk about this when I teach implicit bias, that my mother used to tell me you have to be twice as good.
Right.
And I think many African Americans grew up in a home where their parents gave them this, you know, this message, you know, and I think with good intentions. But when you do anything, you start to feel that pressure, like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. And
yeah,
it's not right for any of us to feel like we represent an entire race when we do anything. So that's an issue that I have to work through, but I can get caught up in with how I look or sound, and I really need to check that. But anyway, she said, keep your eyes on Jesus and continue to give him glory. And when you put the success on yourself, we move away from his purpose for us. So she was, you know, the same thing that we talk about, being instruments and
being a vessel. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly. And being obedient. And that's what our focus should be on. And we have to remember that it shouldn't matter what any of us look like or what we're, you know, how we're serving God, as long as we're serving him and following his will. And you know, it's just one of many reasons why I like this podcast or love this podcast, because it's important for people to see ministers, children of God, be open about our fallacies, because we do have them. And although we work towards perfection, we have to realize that it's impossible to get there. And that's what my wife is always telling me. And you cannot be perfect. And so,
yeah.
So that's my transparent moment, you know, so God is so good.
I'll tell you that the version that you are of yourself is enough for you to not have to feel like you got to show up twice. So
that's right. Thank you.
I believe in giving people their flowers. And, you know, I have to tell myself that as well, because being a perfectionist, I know I'll go into a rabbit hole trying to, you know, make sure everything is perfect before I do something. And then a lot of times it's late or it's exhausting repeating it, trying to get it just right. But keep it to yourself. I like the organic. I love the organic, Mr. Alonzo. I do.
Oh, man, you're going to get me teary-eyed up here, man. Oh,
don't cry. Just say something nice about me.
There's a lot of nice things about you, man. You're super intelligent. I always ahead of your time. So you can be a visionary and you got a heart of gold. So
thank you.
But yeah, we're gonna keep doing what we do. And so I'm gonna change the subject before I start getting some Kleenex here. But we can't forget about the New Generation Gospel Hip Hop event in Kinston on June 28th. Yes. And so far we named four people who would join us. Man, you don't want to miss this event. We announced that U-House.
Who are they again?
Who are they? U-House, KP Crayon, Sosa Brown, and Quiet Storm will be in the building. I'm working out some details with, I was going to announce a fifth person, but we have not confirmed that yet. So we'll see if I can do that next week. But it's at the gate in Kinston on June 28th, right? Yeah. Sorry, Jackie. So I'm going to lean on you for this question before we bring a guest on. But I heard someone talking about this, and then I started thinking about this yesterday as far as the dating scene, you know, right now. And so when you meet someone, how soon do you or should you talk about your spirituality or find out about the other person's faith? Like on the first date, do you immediately, you know, start gauging that?
Right. You know, and I haven't thought of it that way, because usually I set my standards. Like, you know, if I want to have children, you know, with the person that I meet, regardless of who that person is at that moment, I need to make sure they're on the same page with me. And, you know, like, so with other things, but a lot of times we don't consider our, you know, our spiritual aspect of it. And you want to make sure that person is, you know, going the same direction. They have the same goal spiritually as you do. Before even going on a date, right? When you're, you know, if you do virtual, then you want to be able to make sure, you know, the bio, talking to them, texting is on the same wavelength as you when it comes to your spiritual journey. If not, then it's not going to get better with time, because I've been told now that whenever you're dating anybody, you have to look at them for who they are right then and there, rather than looking at the potential and hoping that that's how it's going to turn out. So, I just look at everything at that moment, how they are and how they present themselves.
Wow. That's deep. I tend to agree with you on that. We're going to bring in our guest, and I know him pretty well, so I think he'll probably agree with you too. But man, you're speaking knowledge. So are we ready for our guest?
Ready, Freddy.
Yeah, there we go. So joining us on the Unknown Preacher LA. Wow, you guys are going to, I'm telling you, man, this is good stuff, man. Is Boxing Dynamite, former CBA champ, former WBF All-American champ, and former WBC Continental American champ, known as the Real Touch of Sleep. Give it up, y'all, for Donnell Holmes. Donnell, how are you?
Welcome, welcome.
I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here. I'm sorry to catch you. I'm glad to be here.
We're excited to have you on here, man. I appreciate it.
And congratulations on your upcoming graduation.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That's what's up, man. What Jackie just said, you heard her talk about relationships. Do you think that's something that you start off right from the first date? You kind of gauge that person's spirituality. And I know you're happily married with a beautiful family, so, but I know you have insight on this as well.
Yeah, I look back now and a lot of things, like I said, I gave my life to God and my eyes are open, and I understand a lot of things completely different than I did when I was younger and growing up without, you know, I always knew the Lord and I always went to church. But I didn't understand things the way that I do now. But yeah. I think about it every day now. Knowing the things that I know now, I would have been very, very, very different. I was never the type of guy that tried to date a lot of girls, have a lot of girls, always maybe one girlfriend. Where I look at the things where I was looking at it was still as a worldly perspective, because I was looking at it as in a good person, not a godly person.
Right.
And that's what I always did. I always gave every female I met 6 months, Because if you give a person 6 months, the first in the beginning, of course, everybody's going to show you their best. And I am that I am. I've always been the same from the first day to the last day. But most females, they put up a good front the first 2 or 3 months, and then they'll start slipping. And that second and third month, you'll start getting comfortable. They'll start going back to their normal, whatever they are, whether it's good or bad. And so within 6 months, it's full blast. You can see everything. So like I said, I wasn't judging on a godly perspective at the time. I was judging on a worldly perspective of what I consider a good person to be with as far as caring person, that kind of thing. But like now looking at the godly view of it, I would right out of the gate let them know, look, you believe in the Lord? And I would pretty much go straight at it, you know, let them know, let it be known now up front. If you don't believe in the Lord, I don't see how this can work. And then again, I take that back in a way, because it was a female that worked out in our gym one time. They're like, and we were good friends, but one day I was in the gym working out, and she said, I saw you at a store yesterday as I was passing by. She said, you had a suit on. She said, you go to church, you believe in all that stuff? And I was like, I mean, I was like, yes. And I mean, that's like a thing, like I said, I look back now at all the different things in my life. Yeah. I mean, a couple of things like current to past when I was a kid that my eyes are open to now. Even when she said that, it was like
a different perspective.
Yeah, if she never told me that, I would have never ever tried to date her, have any kind of relationship with her at all. Because if you don't believe in God, even when I wasn't like I am now, even when I've always believed in God and I always knew. But if you told me you didn't believe in God at all, that was the barrier right there. That was the end.
Wow, that's that wisdom, man. I'm telling you. I hope our single people are listening to this. I don't know why I'm hearing a lot of echo on my end. But anyway,
my mama would say that's the devil trying to stop a good message from coming through.
Well, Donnell said that earlier when we were just setting up, man. So that's confirmation. So we're gonna keep pushing through, but I'll say this, in my opinion, and I don't know if Donnell will agree or not, but I think he came up during the greatest era in boxing. I know you were an amateur boxing during the 90s and went professional in early 2000s. And so to me, that's just my opinion. That was the most exciting era in boxing, man. What do you think?
I think the late 70s throughout the 80s to the maybe 1990-91 era, because that was the late 70s, 80s was Muhammad Ali, Bill Frazier, Larry Holmes, you know, the Ernie Shavers, that era. And then it's like a 10-year gap. And then you had a quiet storm. Then you had the Mike Tyson, the Riddick Bowe, the Lennox Lewis. You know, you had that era. Then it was a 10-year gap. You had the quiet storm. That's when my era came in. And it was pretty much starting to die out because social media killed a lot of stuff. Businesses and sports all as well, because everybody was on social media telling everybody how bad they are instead of fighting and showing how bad they are. You know, Mike Tyson was never on the computer telling everybody how bad he is. He was in the ring telling everybody how bad he is. So that's what the kill for social media, a lot of other sports, because it's all about talking. No one's wanting to walk the walk. They want to talk the talk. So that's what I feel have killed it. And then you remember Kristen Martin, the female boxer. Well, hurry in at perfect timing when the men were starting to dodge each other. Everybody was looking just to keep a perfect record and have a good payday. And then right after that, when the females stole the attention from the boxing world, professional boxing, that's when the MMA came. So just like with TikTok killed Facebook YouTube, because they had a 1 minute slot. So people with a short attention span would rather watch the 1 minute, because it's going to go right to the action. Okay, when you got a YouTube video, I love YouTube because a perfect example, I'm working on my boat right now. I've tore my motor down completely and redid it off of YouTube videos because, you know, 20, 30 minute videos, they show us step by step. The guys are inconveniencing themselves to make sure they got the camera all the way up in there, letting you know exactly what width you need, what size. So that's how boxing is. It's a sport where people that like boxing, they like technique, they like to watch it. But it's like a chess game to those. But the ones that just want to go out and party, to drink, to hang a good time, they want to go to MMA because you got 3 minutes, three rounds. They got to go in and get it on right away. If you got two guys that can't fight, but they're evenly matched, they're still going to go in and get it on. That's why people want to see, because they complain about Mike Tyson knocking the guy out in the first round, but then they complain about a 15-round boxing match. So it's, you know, the men for boxing and the MMA just took over because of the door open, the opportunity, what people wanted to see.
That's a very insightful and good point. I actually forgot about the 70s era, man, with Ali and Frazier and Foreman. So I kind of change up on my opinion on that. Thanks to your insight. I appreciate it. So speaking of that, was there ever a fighter that you feared more than anyone else that you had to fight?
No. And a lot of people ask me all the time, well, who's the best fighter I've been in the ring with? Mm-hmm. The thing was, the best fighter, pound for pound, of everybody that you would ever fight. I mean, everything that you would ever teach a fighter that's go to the gym that wanted to learn boxing. His name was Errol Scarnius from Florida. Mm-hmm. And for him, I was 24-0. He was 15-15. Everybody that he beat was undefeated, or they had like champions that had lost one fight, and they would bounce back and fight him their next fight, look at his record, and he would beat them. But then, just like me, I fought him. It was a 8-round fight. I won every round. Look at the scorecard. He's 15-15. I'm 24-0. You would expect, oh, yeah, that was an easy fight. No, it wasn't. I had my hands full every minute of every round. This guy could fight, but mentally, he couldn't prepare himself for a guy with a losing record. Because, like, the fight after me, he fought a guy 3-9, got knocked out the first round. All of his losses was to guys that had a backwards record that he fought right after somebody he beat that was an undefeated, a good fighter. And he fought. He told me after the fight, we were talking locker room. I said, man, I didn't realize you're that good of a fighter. He said, when I saw your record, I saw you had a lot of early knockouts. So I figured if I pressured you and stayed on you, I would get you to later rounds, and I would get you tired, and I would get you. And I said, no. I said, what happened was, I didn't realize you're that good of a boxer. You kept me at angles. You kept me turning. I couldn't hit you. You was hitting me and staying the angles away from me. He said, then it went into the deeper rounds. You got stronger as the fight went on. That's because I was always prepared and ready 100%. I said, so what? I just never had to go to the later rounds. I said, I loved it when I went to the later rounds because it let me see myself what I did, what I had inside of me. And like I said, I enjoyed the one-on-one of it. So that was a good thing about it. Going deep was loving it to me.
Wow. So who influenced you? Who was over your style of boxing? Who would you give credit to?
I can honestly say this here. The Lord put it in me.
Wow.
If nothing else in my life that I don't realize, that I never knew, that the one thing I knew as a child, all of my life, boxing was something that was put inside of me from birth, man. From a baby, as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to do it. I've always died to do it. Nobody in my family, nobody from around my area, I'm from Ivanhoe, North Carolina. Yes. The 2000 census, the population is 311. Not 300,000, but 311. So there's 310 other people. And so it's always been in me. I've always wanted to do it. And so the thing was, I used to go around when I was a kid, like 7, 8 years old, jogging through the woods like I'd see boxers doing on TV, running canal ditches. And I really considered myself training to get in shape. And I played basketball, different things in school, but it was no boxing near. 38 miles was the closest one. That was in Wilmington. Had no way to get there. Of course, everybody said I was crazy and wanted to do it because it was something nobody ever did. And so at 20 years old, I was thinking one day, you know what? It's nothing to keep me from doing it now but me. I have my own car. I have a way to get there every day. And so I went to the gym. Everybody talked trash. Yeah, you'll get your tail beat. And if I did. And the first day, we worked out like 2 months. And the first day, I was big in the spar because the guy had started 2 weeks before me. Everybody beat his tail every day. Everybody. And so I made the spar, and my trainer was getting tired of me begging the spar. So he put me in the ring with the guy that everybody was beating that started right before me. So what was crazy about it, I was pissed off that you gonna get this sorry guy. I was really pissed off about it. And so The first 30 seconds, it was all me. But it didn't end at 30 seconds. That was the problem. So after that 30 seconds, it was all him. The next round, it was all him. And it was so messed up because this was back when everybody had suede Pumas, suede Adidas, the Run DMC time. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
So I had some suede high top Feline. And this is no joke. My tank top I had on, my shorts, my underwear, my socks, and my shoes were so bloody after just two rounds that it was beyond. Oh, wow. I just threw everything away. I just threw everything away because it was so bloody. And it was on a Friday. I got home. I said, man, I'm never going back. And so I had hit it all weekend. And so all weekend, one thing I'm thinking about was how bad it was that all my life, it was just like I said, it's something God put in me. Because all my life, I was thinking, you want to do this all your life. And now you finally get a chance to do it, and you're going to quit. You're going to walk away. So when Monday came around, I went back to the gym. I said, you know what? I'm going to promise y'all this. Y'all, and this is no joke. I'm in the locker room. You're all changing. I said, you better enjoy this now. Because this ain't going to last forever. I did another year of beatings. And so the crazy thing was, Joe Lewis is the world heavyweight kickboxing champion. He was up here in Knightdale, where he's originally from. He was excellent, man. Him and Bruce Lee were real good friends. They trained a lot. He was the real deal. Wow. He was the real deal. It's sad that nobody really knows him. They know of Chuck Norris and all these guys that he dominated. And him and Bruce Lee trained personally, but they had a falling out of a woman. You know, they think so. That was really why you never really heard of him, as far as like the normal joke. But he's anybody that knows karate, he was the man. He lived in Carolina Beach. So he
came, what's his name again down there?
Joe Lewis. Joe not Lewis. The black guy, not the black heavyweight champion, Joe Lewis. Yeah. And his last name was L-E-W-I-S, Joe Lewis. Gosh. From L. Okay, and so what happened? He lived in Carolina Beach. He started coming to the gym once a week. I mean, three times a week to spar with guys. You know, they just did regular boxing, his hand stuff. Mm-hmm. So he sparred with everybody, but he told the trainer, I was the only one he wanted to spar with because the other guy was so scared of him. It was useless. You know, they were just running around panicking. So I wasn't scared of him. I mean, I was getting beat by everybody. So at least this week I get beat by a champion. But yeah, for real, the first year, he did just enough to carry me. Like, I would be here, I would throw a jab, and I would bring my hand back low. He'd say one time, you drop your hand after your jab. Next time I would do it, so like a man, pop. You know, hey, it was just like that. So the thing was, I learned a lot. He carried me the first year. And the second year, I grew a lot. I got a lot better. I got a little bit more confident. And so out of maybe 2 months, I could have maybe two or three good days where he still got the best of it, but I felt good about myself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The third year is unbelievable. It's like a light switch. And that shows you God opens doors and does things when you dedicate yourself. But it was like a light switch. I became number one in the United States as an amateur. I went 17 straight fights, 17 straight knockouts that year. From the championship to the regional championship up to the national championship. And so Joe Lewis, I cut him down to sparring once, maybe twice a week. He come in, he said, man, I'm too sore. I can't spar. You know, and it was like I said, it was like a light switch. I was completely, I was also inducted to the Hall of Fame. And at my speech, I told them this, and I said, look, I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm saying that as a compliment to Joe Lewis, because he carried me the first year. He walked me into that. He carried me from a baby to a man. And in a way, like, I can throw this in there real fast. That's what I'm trying to do right now. You know, just get my walk with the Lord and just get rebaptized and everything and knowing where I stand, understanding the Lord and stuff now. I'm trying to help people that are a baby in Christ walk. I'm trying to give them things that they can understand instead of things that if they go to church, they feel like they may be talked about because they had a drug dealer life or they had a troublemaker life. But now they got themselves together, they're mature, they're older. So hopefully now they're seeing my videos and somebody that's, you know, not from the streets, but, you know, somebody that they can relate to that they've seen, they've been around all my life growing up. That's a joke, the pranks, all this. Somebody they can relate to and that they know I'm not going to just judge them. You know what I'm saying? Because that's one of my buddies, one of my boys, my homeboys from the streets, from Rowan. So they'll feel safe and they'll listen to me. And I have a lot of them that's coming to me on emails, and we're talking about a lot of stuff. And I'm explaining stuff to them out of the Bible, and they're understanding. And now they're actually reading the Bible, and we're having conversations. Like a couple of days ago, one of my buddies was like, "Man, I'm gonna call you back, man. I'm loving this. We're talking about the Lord." So yeah, me and my uncle started doing this a lot. And his question was, I hate that you just said it quick, but his question was, is gambling a sin? And so I said, well, I don't see nowhere in the Bible, or I even Googled it, where it did say it's a sin. But who gains hastily, you know, I forgot exactly where it's at, but hasteful gain is pretty much like if that's taking over your life, you know what I'm saying, where all you think about is money and greed and stuff, then you're not going to benefit from it, versus he who puts away a little bit of time, you know, we're gain. Mm-hmm. I met that because, like I said, but you know where I'm going, I'm learning. But the thing about it is this here, I was telling him, I throw crazy examples out there, but this is the best way I can explain it. Like I said, to somebody from the street would understand it. I said, look at it like sex. Sex is not a sin when it's done right. In marriage, man and woman, you know what I'm saying? It's not a sin. But if you're going to take the same sex and you're going to go out partying, hooking up with girls, doing this and that, then it becomes a sin. So if you're going out, say like me and a couple of my buddies get together, we just have fun hanging out together because we're friends, we grew up together, and we're gambling for fun. I don't see anything wrong with that because nobody's getting mad. We're just doing it with chicken change, you know, like $20. This is to say we did it so we can talk trash, tease each other. I took your money, this and that. Next week, we're doing it again, really floating around the same money back and forth. So it's really not like we're doing it for gain. We're just doing it for fun. I could be wrong, but I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
That way of it. But like I said, when you think of most gambling, you think of most people that's doing it because they're greed. They're looking to take somebody's money. And I asked her, I said, look at it like this. If it doesn't give life, it doesn't give life abundantly, it's not from God. So if you're doing that and you're trying to break somebody else that you know need their money for their family, and they shouldn't even be out gambling with their money, then it's not good then. So then it should be a sin if it's not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I love how you, number one, I follow you on TikTok, and I love how you're connecting with everyone, and you're doing it gracefully, and you're brushing them with the word and with God's love. So you're in a non-judgmental space, and I think that's how we bring non-believers in. And so I commend you, I applaud you on that. And you also, I've seen you do some cooking on there too. So the box and shelf. So I actually think that's also bringing people in, and you can throw down. So kudos to you on that, brother.
I want to say thank you for that. And just like today, every morning I've always woken up 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. This morning, you know, first day I was there, I prayed. This is something I've always did every day I've ever been to the gym. As a boxer, when I first started, I would go in the locker room when I changed clothes, everything. So I guess that was, like I said, my eyes are open to stuff that I did all my life that I didn't realize. And now I see it differently because I'm like, wow, I was doing that all along. Like people say, go into your prayer closet.
Yeah.
Every day I would go into the locker room, change clothes, and I would go into the stall, where the stall, it was actually like a closet, you know, it was completely closed off. And I would always pray the same simple prayer every day. Father God, thank you for everything you do for me. I ask you again, Lord, come to me today, help me improve mentally, physically, spiritually, Lord. Thank you for everything you do for me. Amen. Then I would go out and work out. And wow. So I've always done, and I look at, I was in the locker room by myself, which is a small locker room. I would actually go into the stall, you know, which is like a closet. And so I would say that prayer. I look at how now that's, you know, you go into a prayer room. And then how everything changed of me saying prayers over that time frame. You know what I'm saying? Just like you say about the cooking and everything, that's another thing that's always been a passion that was in me too. I've always loved foods from different areas, trying different stuff. And so I thank you for your comment on that, because everyone that has tasted stuff or cooked have a little.
Absolutely. And so you talked about working out, and you also talked about like in your hometown, running through the woods, you know, that's the physical piece. And so I know that's a large part of the preparation, but how did you prepare mentally? So like when I put in for significant jobs or got promotions, I took advice from a mentor of mine, and what he said was that day before, you know, clear your mind, don't think about it, do what you like. Like he would go fishing. Me, I would go to like the movies and not even think about it. And so I felt refreshed. So how did you prepare mentally before a fight?
It's crazy because, like I said, it all falls back to God. You know, like this morning, and I prayed this morning, it was my same old simple prayer. But at the end, it was like, Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. This is something you showed me in my life. And make this all about you. Anything that I want to see that's got to glorify me, take it away. I'm not trying to be here in the spotlight. This is not for me. I want to see what I can do to put light on the kingdom promises and the kingdoms of your kingdom, not mine, just for you. And so that's pretty much everything I did. And I was always known as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde when it came to boxing. All the trainers that I ever dealt with me always loved it because, okay, pretend me and you are getting ready to fight.
Yeah.
I was talking to you the exact same way I'm now, laughing and joking, acting the fool. But when the bell rung in the first round, click, just like that, it's a night and day. Because that's why it was hard to beat me, because I box for self-fulfillment. I've always wanted to do it all my life, the one-on-one part of it. You know, just remember going to see Larry Holmes with my father and them, going to see different fights, you know, at one cousin's house that had money at the time, pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we go to his house, everybody's balling there. And thinking back of how everybody would have been so happy to see me like that now and know that I'm getting to that level. So when we go to the fight, we go to training camp for the big fights. The first day, I really never had to clear my mind because I was like, I'm going to take a break away from working with the truck and stuff. And that's all I was doing. And nobody ever saw me run because I would get up 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I would always wake up. I would always have my stuff ready. So before I even thought about it, 5 more minutes, I would be out the door and going. So I'd be halfway through my run before I even thought about waiting till later to run. I would be back in the bed, took a shower back in bed before the other guys got up to run. So one of the trainers was talking about me one day. He said, well, you don't never run. You want to do something like that. Because he never saw me run. Here we go again. This is another thing I tell this lady that I'm good friends with from Canada, that I know you get tired of hearing this, but boxing, this is how I know it's another thing that God put in me, because I can relate anything and everything in my life to somewhere in boxing. Like, I was doing this, but they weren't seated. So the day that they was talking trash, because my legs was kind of lazy that day, that was the day I ran my sprints and I did my hard runs. And so my legs were kind of lazy at 11 o'clock, a couple hours lazy because of what I had, a couple hours later because of what I had did that morning. So because of that, they were talking trash about how I was going to get beat because I didn't want to run and do stuff. But God saw me running. You get what I'm saying? So behind the scenes, I wasn't doing it. I wasn't doing it for them. Like if somebody's helping somebody out behind the scene, somebody's struggling, they can't keep food on the table of the family. If you got somebody going behind the scene, helping them out, giving them money, the Lord will see what they're doing. So they're going to be rewarded for it. They're not going here and doing it and then coming back bragging about how much money I'm giving them for food and stuff like that. So I didn't care about these trainers not seeing me run. I knew my goal was to be prepared for my fight, you know, to win my fight at the end. Just like in life, what I'm doing behind the scene, what people don't see, is what God sees. And at the end, my fight is for God to go to glory. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing about it. I'm not worried about what people see me doing or what people think. I'm just looking at what I'm doing for God behind the scene. You know, I give a perfect example. Here I go jumping again. I was so ready to get home the other night. Everything went wrong. I had a load on the other side of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And normally nobody goes that far. Everything went wrong. So it was about like 6 o'clock, I was on the way home. It was already going to be 9:30 before I got home that night. And I saw an older white man on the side of 85, one of those big totes that the farmers haul chemicals in. And somehow fell out the back of his truck. And it was a lot of traffic out there, real busy. He was standing behind that truck looking at that thing like, how in the world are we get this on there? I was so ready to get home. I was like, oh. But I went down like another mile and a half, turned around, got off the exit, went back, because I was going to go help him get it up there. and probably going to do all the work. I'm thinking I was going to do all the work because he was freaking sad. Yeah. So then when I went back past, he was still there. Went up, turned around. I had to go down a couple miles to turn around. When I got back, he was gone. And I'm thinking, how in the world? And I said, well, thank you, Jesus. This could have been a test, you know, just testing me to see how much compassion I would have for somebody I didn't even know. But I know he was gone when I got back. And so little things like that, man, I see them as tests, you know, of me, what kind of person I really am.
Yeah.
But so like training, oh, I didn't jump off the question, but training for my fights, it was like I just did what I supposed to did every day, a prayer. I gave 110%. And then leading to the fight, I was shooting the guy the other day. It was 2.25 miles into town from Don King's camp where I was at in Ohio. I could barely make it halfway to town when I first got there. And then about halfway in, I could go all the way down and back. And then leading into the last quarter of it, I could go all the way to town full speed. And when I turned around, I would basically sprint all the way back. And when I got back, I would take a deep breath, man, and when just like I hadn't even ran. And so at that point, I knew I had put the work in. I knew that it was going to be an easy fight because I did what I was supposed to do. And when I say easy, I mean regardless of what the other guy brought to the table, I was prepared to deal with it.
I love it, man. Amen. I know, so you mentioned Don King. I know when we first met, you told me about your experience with Don King, and I do want you to share, just because I know that some people get bad reps, and I love what you said about him, because I think we can demonize each other, and that echoes, and other people who never had any relationship with someone can have this negative opinion. So tell us about your relationship with Don King.
Only thing I can speak on is how Don King was with me. I never had any problem with Don King. What I was going to get paid, what the contract was for, I got it. I didn't have any problem with Don King. You know, when I was around Don King, he's the type of guy, man, that right now he could drive up anywhere and anybody could go up to him. And he would smile and talk to them just like he's known them all their life. That's the Don King. That's the only Don King I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I've never seen any of the other side, you know, that led him into prison. I've never seen the things that other fighters talk about. He ripped them off and that kind of stuff. But what I have seen in his defense is, like I just told you, I drive a truck. I've always had a truck before I started boxing. I've always taken care of working in between fights. A lot of these guys were boxing since they were kids, just like basketball players to make it to the NBA. They never had to work a McDonald's job. They definitely never worked in a tobacco field. Yeah. So the thing about it was easy money to them because it was never hard work. It was something they were good at, something they loved doing. Okay, I've always worked. So when I had a fight, I would have a fight in Saturday night, be home Sunday, 1 or 2 o'clock. And Monday morning, I would be on the truck, man, working. And so people say, well, man, how in the world are you in the ground? Why are you driving the truck for if you box? So how do you have time? And I say, well, I love driving the truck and I love boxing, so it's not like it's a sacrifice to me. And I said, well, look at a guy that's got an excellent wife. He's cheating on his wife. He can find time to do what he want to do. Like, that's why he can't find time to sacrifice, do what he want to do with other good things. Yeah. And so I worked. So when I had a fight with Don King, my bills were paid. These other guys, they live fight for fight. So when they get a fight, they get paid. And every fight's not a big fight. 99% of boxing matches are not big paydays. So when you're living fight for fight, it's like people living check for check. When Friday come, they've already borrowed their money from somebody else that they're getting that check for. So now they got to cash a check and give that money away. So Dr. King, if you need money, you call him, he's going to give you money. I never had it for money because my bill were paid because I paid them myself by working. These other guys, they only fight. It may be 6 months, a year before they fight. They may have a big fight set up where they maybe get $500,000 to $600,000 or more. And then something happened, that fight get called off. They might be fight for $50,000, but they've already borrowed $200,000 from Don King. So now when he take his money back after they do have the fight they get, they're saying he robbed him, he stole him, he's stealing, because that's the thing that covers them so they don't look bad. But it's them blowing money or borrowing money up front from him, him just getting his money back. And I'm sure coming from the old school he came from, I'm sure he got his money back with interest.
That's a very interesting, and I never knew or heard that version of it. Very interesting. So you mentioned driving trucks. We talked about TikTok and being a chef and disseminating videos. So was it easy to adjust after your boxing career? Did you find that an easy transition?
To full-time trucking?
Yeah, to leave boxing permanently and then go into the trucking business, and you're posting on TikTok. Was that an easy transition for you?
I can say it was so easy, it wasn't even a transition, because wow. I didn't box for fame, I didn't box for glory. And the thing was, when I won the WBC belt, it was in downtown Cleveland. We had a going home thing for Don King. It was at Gun Arena where the Cavaliers played. LeBron was actually at the Cavaliers at that time, because I remember he came through one time. We were there training that one. But the thing was, it was when I won my belt that night, I got cut right here. And the guy said, "Man, I got to take you to the hospital to get stitches." He said, "Because I don't have anything here to numb it with." I said, "Man, I don't care." He said, "Let's go in the bathroom." He said, "Lay back on the sink." I didn't get anything numb it with. He just stitched it up. My trainer and I walked a mile through downtown, got in the truck, hit the road. The next morning, I was home. Like nothing never happened the night before. And one of my buddies was so amazed. He said, "Man, I can't believe it. You won a major championship belt last night, and you're home today just like nothing ever happened." I said, "Well, boxing's not my identity." I said, "I like doing it. It's an accomplishment to me, and that's it." And seriously, it was just like today. Like I'm here talking to you today. It was just like that. I had that fight last night. There was no change. There was no difference in me. And then that Monday, I was on the truck. And so what did it for me was the love of the love of money that everybody has now. It doesn't matter who the fighter is. He can be the worst fighter out there. But if there's something about him that draws attention, they're going to keep putting this guy on TV, even though he doesn't deserve a title shot or big paydays. So that's what social media has done. It's whoever is famous in the world, not whoever the best fighters are who actually earn and deserve these title fights and stuff like that. So I got tired of that. So one day I was running for a fight, and it's exactly like you saw in the Forrest Gump movie, if you saw that movie. When he was running, then he had this long beard, and this one day he finally stopped. He said, "I want to go home." And Tracy can tell you that. I was running one day. It had got to the point where I dreaded to run just because it felt like I was running for nothing. So Tracy even started running with me just so I would run. And so one day, like I said, I was running one day, and just like that, I said, "You know what? I'm doing it." I turned around and walked back home and never thought about it again. And people say all the time, "Man, did you miss it? Did you miss it?" I said, "Did you ever hear me talking about it?" And what's funny is my identity really is country boy, you know, fishing and hunting. When we were in training camp when I was with Don King, the guys would laugh because we would work out that morning. They would take off. They would go somewhere, watch movies or do whatever. But every time they came back and forth by my room, I was watching fishing and hunting all day. And so they would just crack up laughing. But that's my identity. That's what I love. It's plain and simple. And all this other stuff, man, like transferring, going from one to other, it was easy because, like I said, boxing was never my identity. I never needed the attention and all that stuff. It's good that I saw the people that supported me from my own town and people from around. And it was good. Like one day I was in Maryland dropping a load with a truck. Mm-hmm. And what's the odds of this? I'm a truck driver. I get off a truck. I'm walking inside of a building to check in. They got to say, "Hey, man, that's down at home. That's down at home." So just think about how good that felt, that he actually knew who I was as a boxer, not as a truck driver. And he came running to me and asked me about boxing. So that felt good because it was like, you know what? I have made a name for myself, you know, even though I'm not doing it for attention. The fact that somebody identified me, you know, if it would have been at a fight or a sport event, that would have been one thing. But here go a guy coming to me as a truck driver, recognized me as a boxer. So that was like an accomplishment. You're sure that I had did accomplish some things where these guys knew who I was.
Man, God is good. And I can tell you, everyone, if our listeners, I'm pretty sure they know where your heart is. Like I said, I've seen you with your family, interact with your two sons, and you're just a down-to-earth guy. So, man, I just kudos to you, and we really appreciate you taking the time. Do you have any final words you want to, because I want to make certain we allow you to tell your story the way you want to direct this and tell it. So do you have any final words or final thoughts before we close out?
Well, you can give them the link to my YouTube channel. It's Donnell4246, DonnellHolmes 4246, across at YouTube. And the TikTok link is Donnell Holmes, DonnellHolmes 350. I mean, it's just the thing about is give your life to God, even if you don't understand things. What opened doors for me was I was trying to read the Bible, trying to understand it. I couldn't. And I finally realized, you know what? Seeking, you'll find. Asking, it will be given. Yeah. And so all this cooking videos, all this stuff, working on a boat, all these videos, if I want to do something, I look, go on YouTube, and I look up different ways until I find a video that speaks to me. So that's what I did with reading the Bible. I saw reading the Bible passionately. I put it in like that, and I saw all these videos for like a week or so. And I saw one guy. He said, look, he's a big-time pastor, and I forgot his name. He was like, he was the same way. He described me perfectly. He said, a lady told him, just start off with just three verses. Just read three verses a day and study the text after those verses. And just ask God, pray to show you what those verses mean, break it down. And so what I also started doing, I would read those three verses. Then I would go on YouTube and put those verses in. And you would see Bible study after Bible study from different pastors on those three verses, breaking it down. So that helped explain it to me. And I started doing that. And the third or fourth day, it pretty much got to the point where I was like, wow, I could not believe I could not understand this before. You know what I'm saying? It was like you get a manual and you know how it comes with the Spanish instructions, the Chinese instructions, and the English instructions. It was like I was looking at the Mexican, the Spanish instructions the first before, you know, before my life now. And then I couldn't figure it out. And then I found, oh, here's the English version. You know, it was that easy. Yes. And so I fell in love with it because the more and more I learned, the more and more I wanted to learn. And so it just opened my door, opened the door for me. And I will say this here too. All my life, I always knew three things. I was going to be a boxer, truck driver, and the other one is coming now. And this is what's crazy about it. The boxer could never happen. When I started driving a truck, the truck driver gave me the ability to work. I could make the same money in one day I could work on any job I had, you know. Don't think that's a lot. Back then, I was making $115 a week. Mm-hmm. So I could make the same money, but I could do one day of work, make more money I can make on a week. So I could set my boxing schedule the way that it needed to be, you know, for training, for this and that. Okay, so that opened the door. That's when I also went to another level with the boxing, was because of the trucking. Okay, and then I've always seen me, I didn't say being a pastor or nothing like that, whatever it would be. But I saw me being I can't really explain it, but be like an influencer to a lot of people on God's word. And it's like, the truck can open the door for the boxing. The boxing got me known worldwide. And so now it's got people interested in what I'm interested in, what I talk about, what kind of lifestyle I'm living. So now I think God is getting ready to use me to do that and spread his word, because just like we said, everybody I've talked to, just like you had the trouble with your mic and stuff earlier today, that has always happened in this last couple of months that I'm trying to do this stuff, things like that. It's, man, that's never happened before. All these things are popping up. So it's like the devil see what's getting ready to go down and can't explain it. And I'm gonna tell you something, I know this will be the last. The day that I was getting baptized, what's the odds of this? A guy tried to fight me in church 2 hours before I got baptized.
Wow.
I haven't mentioned that to my pastor yet. I'll probably send him this link, but I don't want him to know anything. I didn't want him to be upset about it. So I didn't say nothing about it. I was going to wait till time passed. And then I was going to mention it to him. But this guy snatched me up like a child. He like, and it was simple. Trace and I walked past to go sit down. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not going to tell the detail of that because I don't want it to look bad because our church is a loving place. But it's just people understand that was Satan trying that day because our church was full. The Holy Spirit was strong that day. I was getting baptized. That had never happened again. And it was so simple. And I've never seen that guy in our church before that day or after that day. That's what's crazy about it. And so, you know, I just say that was a tip. And it was so obvious for somebody to snatch you up like a child in church and talk trash to you. That's obviously, that's something that don't belong in that spot.
Wow. Wow. I commend you for keep pushing through and being a warrior for Christ on that, man. And don't stop. Don't stop. And I know I don't have to tell you that, but we thank you and we appreciate you for everything from being a boxer to a fisherman. So thank you for coming on, man. God bless you. We love to have you back. And we appreciate you. Any final words, Jackie? And let's give it up for Donnell Holmes, y'all.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for sure. Listening to your story is definitely is insightful and provides guidance for other people because sometimes people are like, well, I just want to be an actress. So you just think it's straight and it's not supposed to be straight because there's going to be lessons along the way. What if you're supposed to go in, you know, do something else with your life, and then you're supposed to change throughout it to get you to that final part. And you have to experience that way rather than being able to take the easy route because there's not a lot of lessons, you know, when you're not doing that. I think sometimes it's out of entitlement. If I just claim it and he'll help me to get there. And it's like, but do you want to get there your way or you want to get there the way God wants you to get there? So it's really, I think I commend you for, you know, all your different facets and your gifts.
Man, I'll tell you, he is such a blessing to the show and I know him. So he's speaking the truth, everything he said. So again, we're just grateful to have him on. And that is our show for this week. We ask you all to please keep doing what you're doing and we will see you next week. You'll see, are you going to be on next week, Jackie?
Of course. Of course.
I don't need to put no finger sandwiches or nothing out here.
No, you don't have to do that. Okay. Chardonnay would be nice, but you know, it's okay.
Oh, we appreciate y'all. So we want our listeners to be encouraged and always have the right information. And we will see you next week. And we're going to continue to do our part to make the world a better place, no matter how high we get. We'll never, ever stop looking up to God. Amen. 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 It's the unknown, unknown, it's the unknown, unknown preacher.